Is this thing on?
Okay. Hit the jingle.
You can help with the guests and all the rest, and we'll never stop till we take it to the top. To the top.
I see him tapping his feet.
Absolutely. Why wouldn't I?
Before I get to the person behind the voice there, or the voices, this is what the highly paid jingle singers were talking about. This is The Top, and I am Ryman Richie Phillips, formerly of an award-winning morning radio show in Albany, New York. I had to throw that in there. I I changed paths to try new media, the growing world of podcasting. I was reading that Apple registered 1,000 new podcasts per week. So I got to up my game here all the time. I'm trying. This is called The Top. The top of what, you may ask? Well, good question. The answer, I really don't know. It changes from week to week, and that's what makes it fun. I just look for a topic, then I throw it out there to see who you think is tops in that field, and I try to get them on the podcast. The Top is available on iOS, that's Apple, to you and me, on the podcast app, or on Android on the Podbean app, and both are free, completely free. You just type in my name, not The Top. Don't type that in. Type in Richie Phillips, R-I-C-H-I-E-P-H-I-L-L-I-P-S, and that's how you'll find this podcast and all the past ones. But of course, you found this, that's how you found it, and that's why you're listening to it. Duh. Like I said, I'm new at this. I also plan to include some novelty songs that I've been writing, but I really wanted to spend my time this particular week with this guy.
Richie, don't stop till you take it to the top.
I am here with 120 of my favorite people. I am here with comic...
Give or take a few.
Yes, exactly. With comic, impressionist, extraordinaire, actor, comedian, construction worker.
Yes.
He can fix anything. Steve Van Zandt.
Oh, yes. Richie Phillips. What can I say? I didn't realize I had that many names. Thanks. Appreciate it. Try putting that in the back of a jersey.
Exactly. That's a big business card.
It is indeed. And it's great to be with you. It's been a long time, man.
I'm so glad to have you here in my basement. Do you like
Oh, it's very nice. When you finish it, it's going to be beautiful. Yeah, it's great.
And the acoustics are great, right?
Yeah.
Next to the hot water heater.
Oh, absolutely.
It's really good.
I can't wait till the spiders start crawling on me down here.
So I don't know where to start with you, because there's just so much to talk about.
Oh my God, we go back a long time.
I know, we really do.
What was your name again? Oh my God.
I want to start with your background. I went to your website, which I haven't gone to in a long time.
Right.
And I forgot the fact that you are one of nine kids.
That's right. I was scorekeeper in the family.
You're the scorekeeper.
A middle child of nine, yes, which is why, you know, I do what I do, because they're the ones that never get any attention.
Look at my first question. I have exactly that. Did you find that that's...
No question about it. Absolutely. Especially when you have, you know, middle child of three, maybe, or whether it's middle child of three or middle child of 10.
Right.
Well, you can't have middle child of 10. Middle child of nine. It doesn't really matter, because... It's interesting. You're like the first two or three get a lot of attention from the parents. And by the time they get to four or five, really from that point on, nobody's getting attention. So the ones that are younger than you give you a hard time. The ones that are older than you give you a hard time. And you're kind of stuck in the middle and you get no attention. And so certainly that had something to do with it, I think.
But is there anybody else in the family that does what you do, or in the acting business?
No, yeah, my oldest brother, Tommy, he's the oldest sibling in the family. Very funny guy, just naturally a funny guy. But when you have nine children, you're going to have all different types of personality.
Sure.
You can have twins with completely different personalities.
Oh, absolutely.
But no, I don't think anybody takes the humor thing as far as I do. But if I was getting all the attention and making everybody laugh, why would anybody else want to do it on top of that, right? So I think one comedian in the family is enough. But my siblings is five girls and four boys. But it's interesting. My mother used to say, the girls drove her crazy. Right. I wish I had all boys, because she used to say the window of trouble for a boy is a couple of years. The window for a girl starts about 11.
It keeps going.
Yeah, and exactly. Right. Maybe when they're 45, they finally got their act together. So, boy, do I sound like a chauvinist pig now, huh?
We can edit this.
Absolutely.
No, we're not going to edit.
And you got how many siblings? I forget now.
No, that's interesting, because I was thinking about that. I only have one.
Oh, you got the brother, right. Okay.
And I ended up in the biz... So maybe it doesn't follow.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't looking for attention.
Exceptions, you know.
Right, exactly. So who was the first person you ever imitated? Usually it's like a school teacher.
You're
going to
be shocked. It was probably my Italian grandmother. My mother was born in Italy to Italian, 100% Italian family parents. And she spoke Italian fluently.
Right.
And she would have conversations with my grandmother, her mother, on the phone all the time. And you know how Italians are, we're loud. And she would talk, her voice would be escalated in Italian. She'd almost be like she's yelling. And I can remember at 5 or 6 going, "Ma, why are you always yelling?" And I called her Ma, because that's what you do when you're Italian. "Hey, Ma, Ma, why are you always yelling at Grandma?" She goes, "We're not yelling. That's just the way we talk." And now that I'm older and I'm accused of yelling all the time, right, I say the same thing.
You do the same thing.
But she used to speak in this, you know, Italian. And I used to, right, when I was a kid, I would watch her. You're a sponge. You know, I would watch her and I would mimic her for the other family members talking on the, yep, phone. And it used to, I remember vividly, it used to gather people around, they'd laugh, and I was addicted to that. So yeah, I guess the answer to that question is my Italian grandmother, you know, which I'm sure was quite horrible, but it was fun. You know, and then I started doing the school teachers. The first time I actually got in trouble doing impressions, though, my first job ever as a teenager was working at a Burger King. And if you remember the original Burger King, they would take your order on a microphone next to the register and announce it into the kitchen.
Right.
I don't even know if they still do that, but
I think they do.
But we had this owner who used to get really annoyed that the kids would come in on a hot summer day looking for water. It'd be like 90 degrees outside. They wouldn't buy anything. They'd just ask for water, right? So the owner would be in the kitchen and he'd hear the kid coming in for water and he'd go, "Well, not in the water business. What are you coming here? We sell fries, we sell burgers, we sell shakes. We sell onion rings, but we not in the water business." And I would imitate him, right? And so one day I'm doing the bit for the guys in the kitchen, and he's there. I don't know he's there, right? "Guess what? You're out of a job, you son of a... You bastard. You're out of a job. Get out of here. Pack your stuff. Get your burgers. Get the hell out. Get your water. Get out of here." So I would do accents, you know, and then celebrities. And, you know, the problem is when you're, you know, 15, 16, the celebrities you were mimicking then, kids today don't even know who the hell they are.
That's the problem, which is another question I have down the line.
Yeah, you know, well, yeah, if you're doing Jimmy Stewart for somebody that's 19, then who the hell is Jimmy Stewart?
If you did his grandson, that'd
be good. Absolutely, yeah. So whatever, yeah.
Now, it said on your website, too, that you had 60 voices down by the time you were out of high school.
Yeah, as a matter of fact.
So you really were cranking them out.
Yep, when I was... when I did the Gong Show, which is in 78, the Times Union did a piece on me. And the guy said, how many voices do you do? I said, I do 60 that if I put them down on paper, they're pretty good. And he kind of called me on it, you know? So I'm just kind of doing all these voices for him, you know? And I think at the time, Stallone was really big. And, John Wayne was still around and all those guys. And,
right.
You know, all the ones you expect all the impressionists to do, you know, Jimmy Stewart, John Wayne, you know, Jack Nicholson.
All the greats.
All the greats.
A lot,
you know,
of them are
Jackie
gone.
Jackie Gleason, almost all of them are gone.
So what do you do in a case like that?
Well, what you do is you learn how to do the president of the United States. Okay, that's what you do. Okay, please. You get better at impressions. You look at new ones. It's unbelievable. It's Obama's fault. Okay, if these people, it's his fault they all died and nobody knows who they are. Okay, it's what happened. We're going to build the wall. It's going to be an amazing wall. And we're going to make Pink Floyd pay for the war, okay? Pink Floyd, Mexico cannot afford the war. Pink Floyd will pay for the war. They're always talking about the wall. The wall this, the wall that, tear down the wall. It's unbelievable.
No, that's fantastic.
Unbelievable. That's unbelievable.
So you must get a lot of requests for that if you're doing shows now,
right? Oh, my God.
I'm doing
radio ads and voice. I'm doing them for corporate events, you name it. You know, absolutely. He's such a polarizing figure, this, you know. People that hate him and love him want to use him.
You know, it's
interesting. For stuff.
When I did radio, we were told by a consultant remain nameless.
I just want to say it was 2 tin cans and a string with radio. When Richie did radio, it was unbelievable.
It was Marconi in the morning.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Unbelievable.
But when I did radio, this one consultant said you can't mention any president before, like Clinton.
Right.
Because nobody's going to know.
They're not going to know. Isn't that scary?
And that's got to be a problem for you when you do an audience now, right?
That's right. And it makes it a lot harder to make checks, too, let me tell you. But no, that's true. I mean, look, not only that, everybody's attention span is like 5 seconds.
That's a problem.
So even if they're a current voice,
right,
and that people know, if they're not in the news, they're not in the forefront, it's like Saturday Night Live. It's amazing. They have to be topical week to week. Forget about year to year or month to month. These guys have to be topical week to week with the characters and all that stuff.
And they got to do the impressions.
Yeah, exactly. So if somebody's in the news, they go, okay, which one of our cast members can get closest to mimicking, looks like this person or mimic that person? And it's the attention span of everybody is 5 seconds now.
But why do you think there aren't more impersonators from like the millennial age
right.
doing people of their own.
Well, you know, I think I got a good answer for that. I think it's because a lot of them don't have unique personalities. A lot of the celebrities are very generic. Let me give you an example. Somebody said, "Well, do you do Tom Cruise or do you?"
Yeah.
And sometimes a big name celebrity doesn't have anything you can really put a hook in.
So you don't think with Tom Cruise he does?
Yeah, I mean, but it's funny. Yeah. As soon as I said that, I found a guy who, a Hollywood guy, who makes his living mimicking Tom Cruise, and he actually does sound like him. But when you think about Tom Cruise's voice, nothing really unique comes to mind until you hear somebody doing it.
That's funny.
So a lot of times, the characters out there, the famous personalities out there, they don't really have something, a personality trait or a physical trait that makes them kind of stand out. It's kind of more, there's more generic Hollywood, and everybody's famous for 15 minutes now, where if you look at the old school impressionists like Rich Little and Frank Travolino,
exactly,
they were working on legendary movie stars that had legendary long careers. John Wayne, Jimmy Stewart.
I was thinking of John Wayne.
Humphrey Bogart.
Who always said the same thing. Here's looking at you. They always had like a
catchphrase.
A catchphrase.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
well, I was looking. I made a list. Like, do you think like a McDreamy? Everybody talks about McDreamy, but I've never heard anybody do an impression of McDreamy.
Right.
Or Hugh Laurie.
Right.
Or Peter Lorre. You could
see, there you go. Dating myself.
That's right. Or Galifianakis, or like Steve Carell. You know, I've never seen anybody do it.
Right. I think Steve Carell's a good example. Steve Carell just being Steve Carell. Is there anything unique and generic enough, or unique and something you can point out to?
Right.
Say this. Whereas somebody was doing him without saying his name, and you say, "Oh, well, that's Steve Carell." I mean, that's more rare today than it used to be, I think. And I think that's part of the reason why. You know, you make a good point, though. You don't see a lot of young impressionists anymore. I think the closest one is probably Frank Caliendo.
He's fantastic.
Who's unbelievable.
Right.
But he's in his 40s, you know, probably 45, something like that. But he focuses almost primarily on sports figures.
Sports, right.
Right. But he does them so unbelievable. So, which is, you know, he does other ones too, but he tends to do a lot of the sports figure guys. You know, so
I knew he did Robin Williams, unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. He's very, very, very
good. Very, very good.
He was just at the new casino in Schenectady about a month ago.
Was he really?
Yeah. 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 And I was working that night myself. I was going to go see
him. So here we are promoting other people.
Yeah. He's traveling the world and I'm in your basement. So things are going really well. Thanks a lot, Rich.
Yeah, well, I'm in my basement too.
but you have to be. I don't have to be here. I have the option of not being in your basement.
Dory just wants me to
clean
his basement.
And I decided it's a great place to be. That's what's really scary about all of this. It's unbelievable.
Have you seen the guy on Comedy Central that does Trump? It's called The Trump Show. He does like a talk show and he's Donald Trump.
I don't have Comedy Central.
Oh, yeah.
Believe it or not, my cable package. You know what I did? I got rid of it all because I'm not home a lot to watch that.
Right.
But what does he do now?
He just does Trump. I think he was doing it at a party. He might have been a comedy writer.
Does he look
said,
like
oh,
him?
Oh, my God. Oh, well, with makeup, he looks exactly like him.
Right.
He does a very bizarre caricature.
It's almost an over-the-top kind
of
thing.
It's very over-the-top.
So it's not like a voice-matching type of
thing.
Right.
You got to see the guy. He's just
really funny.
Hysterical.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He really is.
Yeah, I know. There's a guy I know out in Vegas who is making a living just doing corporate events as Trump. He I don't think it's the same guy because he really nails the voice. He's got the voice down really, really close. And he, with makeup and stuff, he travels the country and just like corporate events.
Does that.
Yeah. And that's kind of like what the guy, I don't know if you ever saw the clip on YouTube of the guy that was doing Bush during the Bush administration.
Yeah.
What was his name? Steve something. Steve Bridges.
I have a picture with him.
Do you really?
Yes.
Unbelievable. Very talented guy. And so what happened there, and it's a fascinating story.
He looks just like him.
Yeah. He's flying to a gig, and he's sitting next to a guy and they get talking and the guy goes, "Well, where are you off to?" He goes, "Well, I do impressions, and I'm doing this corporate event wherever he was. He lived in California, and the guy's a Hollywood makeup artist that he's talking to, and they get talking. By the time the plane landed, they had a deal where he goes, "Well, I can make you look exactly like Bush," and he goes, "Think of the corporate gigs you could get. You'd literally come out as Bush with Secret Service and the and so they started coming up with this grand plan, and that's exactly what they did. The guy, Hollywood guy, would fly out to the gig. And then he also was doing $25,000, $30,000, $40,000 gigs, you know. And the Hollywood guy would meet him out there. He'd be in a chair for 4 hours.
Right.
They'd turn him into George Bush with prosthetics. And he'd come out there and, you know, do his corporate speech or whatever it was. And then he'd fly off and do the next one. And they made a deal. They made millions of dollars together doing that.
They had like a New York State Broadcasters award show.
He did that.
And he did that.
Exactly.
And I got a picture of him. I stood right next to him. You could not tell the difference between him and Bush.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
The makeup is incredible.
And he also did the correspondence dinner with Bush. I think it was 2008 correspondence dinner.
Yeah.
I made it about 2007, but it was hilarious. They had the real Bush on one podium.
Right.
And they had the Steve Bridges Bush, and that, and the Steve Bridges Bush would say something stupid, and the real Bush would analyze it for you and decipher it.
Oh, really?
I was, if you get on YouTube, just Google Steve Bridges George Bush correspondence dinner. It's absolutely brilliant, absolutely unbelievably stunning.
Would that would have to make you nervous to do an impression for the person standing next to you?
Have
you ever done it? I mean, you've never had a chance to do that?
No, not really. Not that I think of it. No,
but you've opened for a lot of people.
A lot of people. Yeah. You know who doesn't? You know who I had a lot of fun with backstage was Debbie Reynolds. I opened for Debbie Reynolds, and she does a lot of impressions herself.
She was
unbelievable, and the sweetest, most approachable, kindest person. And she's like 5'3". Mm. And I'm standing next to her, and she goes, I don't mind chatting with you, but can you sit down when you talk to me? She says to me, but she was so sweet. And so she goes, your impressions, are amazing. You know, I had done a couple of shows with her, and I said, thank you. And she goes, I do some voices myself. Like she's auditioning for me. This is Debbie Reynolds, right?
Right.
And she's doing, of course, all of them are female voices, but she did Cher, and she did.
She used to do Zsa Zsa Gabor.
Zsa Zsa Gabor. I mean, her talent was unbelievable.
Yeah, she was very talented.
Unbelievable. In fact, she showed a lot of clips of her movies during, mm-hmm. and I kept thinking, watching it after my set, going, wow, this woman is, her career has been unbelievable and her talent is unreal. Of course, she passed away, a year or two
ago. Yeah, she passed away.
Right after her daughter. But so that's about the closest I've gotten to doing impressions for celebrities.
You are listening to The Top, and I'm talking to the top of the impressionist world with Steve Van Zandt. Let's get back to it, shall we? Who do you think is the best impersonator of all time? Who is like your god of impersonators?
That's a
living
good,
or dead.
You know who? This is going to sound, this is a really obscure one. You ever heard the name David Fry?
Of course, David Fry. He did Nixon.
That's right. We're probably the only two people that remember David Fry.
Is he still living?
No, he died, at least 10 or 15 years ago. But David Fry made his career doing Nixon.
Remember that?
But what you didn't know is that he did a lot of, he didn't do as many impressions as like a Rich Little.
Right.
Most people of our generation, they think of Rich Little. Rich Little, claimed to be the man of 1,000 voices, and he probably did close to that, but they weren't all great. He had a handful that were really brilliant. But David Fry did less impressions, but they were unbelievably accurate.
I don't think I ever saw him do anything besides Nixon.
He did really obscure ones. Like, remember B. Arthur from Maud?
Really?
Because I saw his show, and he did B. Arthur. I'm like, who does B. Arthur?
Not a lot of call for B. Arthur.
Right. Well, this was at the time when her show Maud was on.
Oh, that's true.
Right. And it was spot on, And here's the scary part. It didn't give me a lot of confidence getting into show business. I saw him at a high school gym, and the seats were, they pulled out the bleachers that go into the wall.
Right.
So they pulled the bleachers out. That's where you sat. It was at a college campus, and it was like $3 or $5 to see him. And I'm like, and this is that by that time he was in his 60s or 70s or something like that, and he'd done all the Ed Sullivan and all that stuff. But I was just blown away about how accurate his impressions were. And I've seen Rich Little in person, but I would say David Fry. And Frank Gorshin was amazing.
As well.
Yeah, he did a lot of the classic movie star voices.
Now, let's go back even farther, which is really going to show definitely my age and possibly your age.
Yeah.
Do you remember Vaughn Meader?
Oh, God, yeah.
Who just did Kennedy, right?
Did Kennedy. Now, that's a great story.
But that's a bad story.
Well, that's right, how his career ended.
Right.
Literally. In fact, a great story of Lenny Bruce was performing the night Lenny... they were friends, actually, believe it or not, Lenny Bruce and him. And the night Kennedy was assassinated, Lenny Bruce was doing a show somewhere. And he goes, that bullet that killed Kennedy today, he goes, it actually killed two people. He goes, it killed him, mm-hmm. and it killed Vaughn Meader's career.
That's exactly it.
Because his whole shtick was Kennedy.
That he
was
did an thing. Album called he The did. First Family.
That's,
I have it
wow,
near the room.
Wow, you really know your stuff.
Oh, I remember that.
And here's a follow-up out. Who did First Family Rides Again? That was the name of the album.
Oh.
And now it's time for some trivia. Yeah. I'm Casey Kasem.
It's Kasem. I don't remember.
It's time for some... Well, Rich Little did when Ronald Reagan was elected in 1980. Rich Little did an album called "The First Family Rides Again," and it was based on the same format that Vaughn Meader had done with Kennedy, The First Family, parodying The First Family, and it was about Ronald Reagan. And
did not know that. I don't remember that.
Well, that's because I'm the guy, and you aren't. I know my stuff. God bless America. It was very funny, and just like when Vaughn Meader did the Kennedy thing. Jackie Kennedy did not like that album. She was very upset by it. She thought it was very mocking. And Nancy Reagan, when the other guy I just mentioned, Rich Little, when the second family album came out, Nancy Reagan did not like that one either.
I remember the woman who did the Jackie Kennedy impression on that album, too. She did a really good job.
Really breathy.
I don't know who she was.
Unbelievable. Yeah, 1 meter. That's right. Now, that's a name, again, if anybody under, I'd say, really under 40 or 50 maybe, would not know who 1 meter was.
But if you love impressions, I'm sure that album is online somewhere.
You can find it. I have the original album, and it's not worth anything because they sold millions of them. Yep. This 1 meter went from like unknown to a millionaire overnight because of the Kennedy thing.
I thought I remember him. Did he commit suicide after that?
No,
I think he didn't.
No, he became an alcoholic and a drug addict is what happened.
Wow.
Now you can almost understand it, you know, but he ended up working as a singer in small restaurants in Maine, which is where he was from. He was from Maine. And that's kind of where he went back, and he had a drinking problem. And a lot of the venues in his hometown area would help him out by giving him gigs. But he went from nothing to superstardom on November 22nd, 1963, went back to nothing and then died a broken man.
Now, there's something else you said, which is a theory of mine.
And now it's time for another piece of information. I'm Casey.
You said he became a singer, and I've always believed, and I've heard you sing, and you sing well, too. I think music...
There's
a parallel between listening to a melody. The voices have a melody, is what I'm trying to say, don't you think?
Well, I think singers, generally speaking, can hear themselves as other people hear them. You ever heard people say, well, gee, when I hear myself on tape, I don't quite sound like I think I sound?
Yep.
There are people like that, and most people are like that. Yep. But I think people like you and people like me, the ability to do what we do is because we can hear ourselves just as we think it's coming out. Mm-hmm. And if that makes any sense. And as an impressionist, I have to know that because when you're speaking, your voice is coming from a different place than the listener's getting it from.
That's right.
And so you have to have the ability to hear it as other people hear it. And I think that's a common thread you get with singers and impressionists and people that just use a voice in general. Or even, you know, whether they're making movie trailers or whatever the case may be.
But I think I mean it in a different way. I saw your quote on your website. You do what the funny voices in your head tell you to do. Right? And that's really interesting because how do you get it out of your head? What do you think your actual process is? If I were to play you a voice right now and say, imitate it.
Right. I'd imitate exactly what I'm hearing. It's called voice matching.
But, right. But I mean, what do you think the process is? I mean, do you listen to a tune? This is what I'm saying. Like, let's say it's Edith Bunker. I've heard you do that a lot of times.
Oh, thank you, Archie.
But not the words. I'm listening to the tune. It's like, mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, do you listen to a cadence to a voice?
Absolutely. Like,
there's a beat to a voice or a tune to a voice.
Exactly. Well, you know, when I hear a voice, I can pretty much tell whether or not I'll be able to nail it or not. I'll know immediately if it's in my range. You know, it's like going back to the impression thing. Some guys do the same impression, and one guy does it really, really well, and the other guy's way off.
Yep.
But then you flip it around. There's the guy that can't do that really well can do another one better than the other guy. And that comes to what voice you have to begin with. So it starts with your own voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if you have the ability to go very, very deep and very, very high, and you have that range.
Yep.
Some guys don't have that. You know, I mean, have an impressionist that has a gruffy voice to begin with. He's not going to be able to do an Edith Bunker.
Exactly.
And the opposite's true. Yep. You know, so. But I'm almost 60 in July. I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do Edith Bunker. You know, because your voice starts to change as it gets older too. You know,
oh, Archie, I'm so glad you like your new lazy boy recliner.
Oh, jeez, now I got two lazy boys in the house, the chair and the meathead. Get away from me, you.
For anybody born before 1984, that was from All in the Family.
Right. Or later years.
See, you got to explain everything. It's killing me.
I know, it's unbelievable. But they live on, you know, and sometimes they're so legendary, people use them in ads and stuff like that. You know, I did a spot for a radio spot for a client out west somewhere, and they wanted the Honeymooners. So they wanted Jackie Gleason and Art Carney doing a commercial for a law firm, you know? And I said, well, geez, anybody gonna remember that? And he goes, well, the people we're trying to reach remember that. And he goes, we're talking about, you know, it was estate planning and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on what you're pitching, you know?
Now I'm thinking there's an impression that requires the use of listening to melody like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's
all caught his way over here.
Right. He had
and then you got your way down here for Jackie Gleason.
Right.
You know, Norton, I've been watching you, and I know that you've been watching me.
You know. Hello, Bobby like, Boy!
Google it, kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Unbelievable. You do that. Absolutely.
All right, so I got a quick group of questions to ask you. Favorite voice to imitate that you never get tired of doing?
That would probably be the guy I lived for growing up, Mr. Johnny Carson. You know, it was so hot in Albany yesterday. I saw a bird pulling a worm from the ground with potholders. That's how weird it was. Now we're snowing out. It's
now
crazy.
Is that still working in act?
No, not really. Unless it's a corporate event and they're killer. A little bit older. And you know, I mean, Carson's got one of those classic voices that's got so much going on in it. You know it's Carson immediately.
And you wouldn't want to do Jimmy Fallon.
No.
Jimmy Fallon does a million people, but who does Jimmy Fallon?
Right, exactly. But I mean, that's the problem. They have a life, they live on in a sense, but the attention span of people today, they have no idea who that is.
Right.
You know, they just don't.
But if you did a retrospective show, it'd be great. If you did it for older people, like, I'll sit and listen to you because I know everybody you're doing.
You know, it's I mentioned Carson. I always thought it'd be kind of funny to have Carson do an audio, almost like a radio drama with Carson. Like you're listening to The Tonight Show, but it's all the guests today with Carson.
That'd be great
playing
idea.
Host. So he comes out and he does a monologue about, you know, stuff going on in 2000. What is it? 2000? Hey, Ed, what is it? 2018, is it now?
Yes, sir.
That's 2018. So now he's still the host, except that he's in the modern era. And he's interviewing people like Bradley Cooper, people like that.
You could do it.
So Bradley, who you been sleeping with these days? You know, but anyway, it would be kind of funny. But so you got Carson from the retro, talking with celebrities of today. You know,
but you got to do Bradley Cooper.
This is true, which I do not. I guess all the Hollywood celebrities do Bradley Cooper, but in a different kind of way. But whatever you're gonna do. So yeah, I mean, I never get tired of Carson. I always loved Carson. That's one of my favorite impressions to do when I was. Growing up.
What's the one that is the hardest impersonation to get? Like, I always heard nobody can do Bob Hope, for example.
I saw a guy do Bob Hope on, speaking of Ed Sullivan, or Johnny Carson, remember where Ed Sullivan, his sidekick there, Ed McMahon, had the show Star Search?
Oh, yeah, right.
In the 80s, I saw a guy come on and do Bob Hope, and I went, wow, it sounds just like Bob Hope.
You never saw him.
I want to tell you, hey, kids, I want to tell you, it's kind of like that.
Right.
I got to tell you, it was like that. He always ended a sentence with, almost like he stopped in the middle of the sentence. He had that kind of cadence to him.
Yep. You know?
But I mean, every time I say, nobody can imitate that voice, it's too generic. Somebody comes along and does it, you know. And that was, but I don't know whatever happened to that guy, but he really nailed it. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable, as Trump would say.
Do you ever find that there's a similarity between one impression and another? Like if you can do one guy, you can automatically do another. Like I'm listening to Barack Obama. Barack Obama seems to have the same type of staccato.
Yes.
As David Brinkley. Would you agree with that?
Well, David Brinkley.
Nobody knows David Brinkley. But
that's right. David Brinkley will talk like this. Like he's almost constipated.
Right. A little staccato.
Well, Barack, very choppy.
Choppy is what I'm saying. Right.
Well, Barack Obama would talk to somebody. Almost sounds like he's going to my fellow Americans. He would start out
it's
like.
It's higher.
He dragged the first part of the sentence and it ended quickly. The problem with the economy is we're borrowing too much money from China. And the problem with borrowing a lot of money from China is an hour later, you feel broke again.
But do you find that if you learn one, it'll ring a bell and go, wow, that's very similar.
Absolutely, just
tweak.
And like, that goes back to what I said before, where I can hear a voice and I can say, you know, and here's the other thing, and I'm sure you feel the same way as a musician and a singer. I'll record something that I did, and then 5 years later, I'll hear it, and I'll go, oh, my God, it's so horrible, it's not even close. Mm-hmm. Because the voice will get better, the impression will get better as I use it, as I do it. You know what I mean? So first take on my Trump, you know, it's still a work in progress, but my first Trumps were really, really horrible. And then as I did it more, the impression gets more and more better.
I'm glad you brought that up because I would now like you to review something you did 30 years ago.
Oh, my God, please.
All right. We did a little thing together. I'm speaking, by the way, with comic impressionist Steve Van Zandt, by the way, in case you were just tuning into the podcast you're driving to
Ethiopia,
wherever it is. Oshkosh. We did a little thing. It was a business that went nowhere. But it was a great idea.
Which is why we're in your basement in 2018.
That's right. It was called Teleclones.
It's kind of like saying, I'm looking for my future ex-wife now. I'll tell you.
It was called Teleclones, which are telephone answer machine messages using celebrity voices.
Right.
Oh, and some music God. Once in a while.
Teleclones.
And nobody really uses those.
Nobody's got the attentions. I still get every once in a while, can you do my voicemail as Donald Trump?
Or really?
Can you do it? Yeah, once in a while. But not, you know, back then, remember, everybody was still using cassette tapes to keep their messages. And,
right.
you know, we'd transfer these to their voicemail. But I don't think I've heard this in 30 years myself, which you're about to play.
Yeah, so. Here's a sample. I was going to pretend that I was going to pick up the phone.
Oh, my God. Terrifying.
So, okay, here we go.
Terrifying.
This is a sample of Teleclones.
Okay.
I'm dialing, which sounds nothing like dialing.
No.
But here we go.
That's what it used to sound like.
One ringy dingy.
Oh my God, you're really dating yourself.
I know.
Wow. All right, here we go. Hey, nobody's answering. Great.
Holy incoming calls, Batman.
Hold on. Robin, old chum, tell the Joker who's calling to leave a message at the sound of the bat tone.
Right, Batman.
Why is it they always call precisely when I'm washing my bat tights?
Oh, my God.
Now, I thought it was good, and I think it still would work today. Don't
right.
you think?
Oh, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Now, what do you that's think of your own impression?
Well, that's the TV Batman. Now, that gets back to another point you made. You have the TV Batman, and then you have the current movie, you know, the Christian...
That's true.
Christian Biel Batman with a deep, you know, and the more dark, sinister. We had
that's
the
Adam West.
Right, Adam West.
Right.
We had the campy... Well, Adam West just passed away, I think, last
that's
year.
That's right. He did.
He always sounded like he was out of breath, like he just ran a marathon. And the guy hasn't even started going anywhere yet. It's like, hold on. Robin, old chum, the Batmobile is running. We need to get in it and go to Gotham City and solve another sinister plot by the Joker.
Sinister
okay, you're out of breath already. You haven't even gotten in the damn car yet. Robin was in tights, and that's why he sounded like he did.
Right.
But
now you sound a little bit better than you did that. But I still
yeah,
feel
oh
great.
Yeah, I think because my voice is more mature. You know,
that's right.
It's like, hold on, Robin. You know, that I think when I did that, I was probably like 19, 20 years old.
Yes.
You know, so. Absolutely. So, yeah, I mean, those were fun. We sold some of those, but
yeah,
six or seven of them. But
I got them in my basement. In my basement. They're right over there in the corner.
Yeah, I think we were going to have like a series of them because they're going to be multi-million dollar sellers. And we'd have like the legendary movie stars.
That's right.
The TV stars, the singers. You know, we could have like Jimmy Stewart. Imagine Jimmy Stewart on your answering machine. We got, yeah, well, we're not here. Right now, but listen, if you leave a name and a number, I think that maybe sometime when we get back from whatever it is we're doing, and I think we're grocery shopping. I'm not sure what it is, but you know, it's like Jimmy Stewart as a track announcer at Saratoga. It'd be the same thing, you know.
Right.
And they're off. Yeah, there they go. There's a nine. That might be a two. The damn thing's over anyway. Yeah. Hell with it. Yeah. Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Can you imagine him as a telemarketer calling you at 6 o'clock at night? You can't get them off the phone in general, but
God.
Him.
Unbelievable. Yeah, if they redid like It's a Wonderful Life, you know, it'd be a lot more dirty today.
That's right.
What the hell's the matter with you, you stupid you jump in the river and then you make me go after you and you say you're some freaking... What angel? Yeah, I got your angel right here. Yeah. How about these wings here? Yeah, take a look at those wings.
I love it. Now this is a defunct business, but you're doing some things right now that are very interesting using modern media.
Yes,
modern media. Boy, I sound old.
Yeah, well, you know what?
The interwebs.
The interwebs. Yeah, that's what they call it.
Right.
You kids today, I'm telling you. Yep. No. You do a lot of corporate stuff, and I think there's a lot of untapped potential in the corporate comedy for corporate functions,
sure.
Especially audiovisual stuff like PowerPoint, et cetera. Well, I discovered this software that can animate photographs, can make a photograph come to life and actually speak, And then, for example, I have a customer who maybe wants Donald Trump to introduce their meeting or their convention or their award ceremony, or maybe it's a, even a roast.
And he's so not available.
And he's not available.
So what I do is I take a picture of the president. Okay, it's an unbelievable picture, by the way. I don't take a bad. Do I take a bad picture? Seriously, it's unbelievable.
And so, so you take a picture of the Trump, and then you can have him say whatever you want.
Incredible.
So you give me your script. I record the script. Could be an award ceremony, could be intro, as I said, to a meeting, whatever the case may be. And then you record that and you import this into the software, and it outputs a video lip sync perfectly to the audio that was recorded.
It's so built in software for your career.
It's unbelievable. So what do you use this for? Well, yeah, you know, you're having a meeting, you're having a birthday party, you want to send out an audio invitation, a video invitation.
Right.
And so I'm kind of selling that kind of stuff. And they're really, really good for, you know, just corporate events. You know, the meeting intros, award ceremony.
Award ceremony.
That kind of thing.
Incredible.
And the other thing I'm working on is the animation works with animals. And I'm going to be launching a website where you can have your pet send a Christmas greeting, a birthday greeting, an anniversary greeting. Your pet would be your e-card. So I take a photo of your dog, your cat. What, it could be your parakeet. Who cares what it is?
Unbelievable.
You import it into the software.
Yep.
And then I give it a funny voice. Maybe even give it a celebrity voice. Sure. You know, if your dog looks like, you know, Robert De Niro, I'd be like, look, we're having a, little holiday thing, you know, at the house. And we're wondering maybe, you know, if you're not getting whacked that day or whatever, you could come.
You Robert Dognero.
Right, I like that, Robert Dognero. But you're always thinking, I love that. So with some tweaks with the software, you can make the dog talk and wish somebody a birthday, anniversary, a wedding invitation. I even had a woman who said, well, can you make my baby invite people to their own, my one-year-old child invite people to its own christening.
To its own christening.
Yeah. So she sent me a photograph of the baby, and I gave her instructions as to what to send me exactly. And we animated the baby with the rest of the family, with, you know, inviting everybody to it. And they're sending out paper cards. Everybody got an e-card. And so they hit the email and boom, popped up the invitation. The baby's actually inviting the people to its own christening.
If we were doing this live, I bet you we'd be getting calls right now, ordering them.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's around to something.
They're
definitely going to be, we're going to be launching that pretty soon. And so that's really, you know, as I'm getting older, I don't like to travel as much. As you know, I did cruise ships for a long time.
Oh, right.
You know, you've done gigs where you're driving 6, 7, 8 hours or you're flying someplace. I just don't want to do that as much. And I'm still doing some of that. So this is the kind of thing I can do in my basement, like this. So,
hey, you want to come over here and do them?
Absolutely. You know, but I think there's a market for that, and so I'm just fine tuning as to exactly how it would work. But who knows? You know, maybe we'll be doing some stuff together down the road.
Killer idea! Oh, I'd love to. I know I'm going backwards in time here, but I went on Facebook.
Now it's time to go backwards in time. This was the number one hit in 1977.
Right. On Facebook, I do this. Whenever I'm doing a podcast, I'll put out on Facebook who I'm going to have on. If you have any questions,
sure.
There was a Kim Valle that
Kim
went to
Valley?
School with you.
Yes, I know Kim. Yeah, yeah. Okay, a long time
ago. I said, "Do you have any memories?" And she said, "In high school, you used to do Rodney Dangerfield."
Oh, absolutely! You kidding me? I'll tell you, my kids today are in high school. Like my kid is majoring and screwing up, but that's another story. Oh yeah, that's what I did. I used to
used do, to do in school
at lunchtime. We'd all sit around. They'd all listen to me do impressions of the teachers and then the celebrities at the time, you know, and stuff like that. You know, it's funny. The other thing it reminded me of in high school, we would sit in the cafeteria, and it was always you always knew who the druggies were and the troublemakers, right?
Right.
They were, you know, the cops would show up at the school and arrest them or clean out their locker or whatever it was. And I used to do a police siren whistle that was really realistic, and I could build it up to make it sound like that. And they'd be stoned out of their mind. So we'd have one guy say, "Hey, I heard that, you know, that they're on to you with the drugs and stuff like that." So they'd be all paranoid as it is, and I'd be in the background going,
and so we'd like it.
Yeah, so we'd have a bunch of kids around going, "Holy crap, they're coming to get you." And they'd be all paranoid, like, "Oh my God." You know, so we always do goofy stuff like that. But I would practice the impressions on who else? Your classmates, your family members, you know.
That's your stage. Now, see, that looks like that'd be something simple to do. I would sound like a bird.
A helicopter.
Oh, so you do sound effects too. I don't
know. A little bit. There's that guy that used to do the sound effects. It was amazing.
That's right.
I do a few, you know. Yeah. And then I do, you know, the other thing I do is somebody will say, a client will say, "I need a gruffy cowboy," or "I need an old man," or I need a surfer dude, or I need whatever. You know, those are always fun to do too. You know, like with the commercials I did for the campaign I'm working on out of Pittsburgh right now, the national commercials I'm doing, is where I'm doing the voices of some mafia puppets.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that a little bit. Yeah, I know we're jumping all over
there.
I know we are.
But basically, it's an ad agency in Pittsburgh that uses me. They came up. The guy was a big fan of the movie Goodfellas. And he's eating breakfast one day, and he said, wouldn't it be funny if some mafia guys had their own car dealership? And people would come in for an oil change or whatever, and that instead of getting what they wanted, they were, you know, whacked into doing or forced into doing something they didn't want to do.
Right.
And it would be a great campaign for new car dealerships or even used car dealerships that have great customer service and they want to pitch that. So the commercials are shot genetically so that anybody can plug into those. And they're done with real live actors, Hollywood actors, and puppets that were created for the commercials. And each of the puppet has a different look. And right. each had personality. So one guy's the head of the service department, another guy's a salesman. And so these unsuspecting customers, and these are 30-second ads,
yep.
and this is a scenario that plays out in the ad. And an unsuspecting person would come into the car dealership saying, hey, you know, I heard I want to buy a car.
Well, you don't want that car. You want this car over here is what you want.
Well, that's way out of my price range.
No, by the time we're done, believe me, you will be the proud owner of this car.
You know, so sometimes they showed me the pictures of the puppets and I auditioned for one. And I said, I have some range here. I could probably do all of them for you. And they said, okay, well, take a shot. So I auditioned for the one character and then the other three, and I ended up getting all four roles. So the spots are now airing nationally in different markets to buy them. And there was a funny controversy over them, though. The spots are playing out, and there's some funny scenarios depending on how you look at it. The Italian Anti-Defamation League apparently thought they were offensive.
Oh, my God.
So long story short, I get a call from the ad agency. Say the spots are doing great. I'm selling them like crazy all over the country, but now we're getting some bad publicity. I go, why is that? He goes, well, this guy thinks that they're detrimental to the Italian heritage and blah, blah, blah. So they go on Fox News.
Right.
Fox News does a story on them, which is actually good and bad because it gave them so much publicity. You had the ones that said,
right,
screw those people. I love that campaign. The other ones that said, oh, I'm nervous about doing that. So he's on national TV, the guy that hired me. He's defending them, and he's got the defamation guy. He's saying, you're full of it. They're all, they're detrimental to Italians and blah, blah. They're going back and forth. So the interview is getting wrapped up. And the interviewer says, well, who's doing the voices?
Man.
And he goes, well, he goes, Steve Van Zandt. And he goes, now, of course, you know the actor named Steve Van Zandt who played a mafia guy on The Sopranos, coincidentally.
And was in Springsteen's band.
Yeah, you could see that somebody was telling the interviewer in his earpiece, wait a minute. Steve Van Zandt's the guy in The Sopranos. Ask him about that. So you could see he does a double take, and he goes, well, wait a minute, Steve Van Zandt? You mean the guy? And he interrupts him in mid-sentence. He goes, no, this is another Steve Van Zandt. He's a comedian voice actor in Albany, New York. And so it was really funny to see that because of all the people that this guy plays, he plays a mafia guy. So they're trying to correlate, if it's right. what are you hiring this guy for? You know, but it actually got a lot of publicity.
I was going to say, even bad publicity sometimes is...
It did. And there was people protesting the dealerships
wow.
and everything else.
Oh,
no, it was
kidding.
Crazy. It was a big deal, yeah. Wow. And it made like the Wall Street Journal and Fox News and New York Times, and they interviewed me and everything, and you know.
And
I said, I'm just doing my job here. What are you doing? I'm trying to have dinner over here with my family. And you're calling me to what? What do you want me to do?
And our crack research team actually found a sample.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
oh,
this
yeah.
Is one of, you get the, of course, it's they're TV commercials, but
TV commercials.
But you're going to hear the audio. Which
right.
one did you pick? Well, we'll find out together.
Oh, let's see.
And now it's time.
Hey, welcome to our Bada Bing Bada Boom sale.
Okay, I'll bite. How's it work?
Let's say you buy a car. That's a Bada Bing.
And if I don't?
Ooh. That's a Bada Boom.
Tired of wise guys and bad deals? Then come to Avondale Dodge and get the right deal from the right guys.
Hey.
Yeah, I'll describe briefly what's
something
going on.
Something happened at the Bada Boom.
So a guy, right. but basically what's happening in that commercial is a guy, and you can Google this, if you just Google wise guys, bad deals, and look for the commercial. There's about 12 ads in the campaign, in the one that says Bada Bing.
Mm-hmm.
A guy comes into a dealership, the shop for a car, and he goes, welcome to our Bada Bing Bada Boom sale. And
right.
the guy goes, how's it work? You know, if you, and then he says, well, if you buy a car, that's a Bada Bing. And if you don't, well, Bada Bing, but I have it backwards. If you buy a car, that's a Bada Boom. And he goes, what if I don't buy a car? So the camera goes back to the actor. What if I don't buy a car? Well, that would not be good. In other words, that's a bada bing. And then his associate mafia guy hits the guy over the head with a 2x4 and knocks him out.
Okay.
You know?
So, little explanation
yeah,
there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But they're very funny. They're done with professional, really amazingly detailed puppets. The puppets are amazing. The people that worked on the... that worked with Jim Hansen.
They were involved in
that? His company was involved in creating the puppets. And then the actors are just Hollywood actors that they, not so much unknown actors, but Hollywood actors. Right. And they're done on film, and they're really, really, quality of work. And then the spots are done in such a generic way, instead of a dealership wants to buy the campaign, they can just plug in their materials. So that little funny scenario plays out, and then the dealership images come up in the voiceover, et cetera. So anybody can plug into it. And they're sold in markets all over the country and in even Canada. So.
What a perfect business for you.
Yeah. And all
you do in your underwear.
And here's what's fascinating, Rich, and you'll appreciate this. So I did the part of the puppets.
Right.
And they send me the script and they direct me right on the phone. And then the guy that does the announcer at the end with the deep voice, he's a California voice actor. He did his part somewhere else. The puppet guys were somewhere else.
Nobody's in the same room.
Right. The production, post-production guys are somewhere else and literally all over the country, and the spots are all put together in Pittsburgh.
It's a new age.
It is. It's complete. We talked about this 30 years ago and saying, what if we could do this, and we could be here, the technology wasn't there yet.
We used to send cassettes to people.
It was crazy. My God.
Incredible.
We used to have those reel-to-reel floor track cassettes.
That's right.
So we thought that was a big advance.
That's right.
I remember the first radio ad I ever did, the very, very first one I can remember distinctly. It was 1978. It was for Sounds Great Stereo here in Albany. Remember, they were on Central Avenue over near the drive-in, which doesn't exist anymore.
I knew way the owner.
Way up Central Avenue. Sure. Sounds Great. It was a cassette. There were 8-track. Remember, 8-tracks were the big thing back then for cars. And you'd go in there and you'd buy your 8-track cassette player for your car. And so it was Richard Nixon. He had just come back after Watergate, and he was back in the news, and he was doing interviews and stuff like that. And we did Nixon singing a parody. I don't forget exactly what it was, but I just remember going into the studio, and I was so enthralled. This massive studio with this huge control board, and if you had to put a half a breath in, or it had to be you had Pat Tessitore, Cathedral Soundsteel. he'd had the tape. I still remember this vividly. He'd had the tape draped over his neck, like pieces of tape.
Razor blades.
Yeah, and with a razor blade, he'd say, the director would say, well, I need a half a second more here, and he would have to go in physically, get the two tapes rolled, lined up, splice the tape, splice in the half a second, put it back in, rewind it all back up again and play it back for him. How's that? Nah, it needs to be a little bit more or a little bit less. He'd have to go back in, take that splice out, put more tape in, less tape in, put it back together. Now it's all keystrokes.
You could do it in 1/18 of a second.
It's unbelievable. It's really unbelievable. The technology is unbelievable. And by the way, I'm completely responsible for it. Al Gore, he's responsible for the internet, but I did everything else, It was after the internet. It was just, forget about it. It was everything after that. My responsibility. I did it. It's unbelievable.
Now, you have done, thinking back over the 30 years, you've done radio.
Right.
You perform all over the place. You've done cruise ships. You've done this kind of thing. You've done studio work.
Exactly.
What's the bucket list thing you have not done?
Probably be on the Johnny Carson show, which is not going to happen now, folks.
But you were on the Gong Show?
I was on the Gong Show.
We never really talked about
America's Funniest People, the Comedy Channel.
And you finalized. You were a finalist in that.
Yes. On America's Funniest People, I was runner-up. It came down to me. It's funny. Both the Gong Show, it's funny. You brought up the Gong Show. It's back then, if you told somebody you were just on the Gong Show back at the time when that was like the hottest show on TV.
Right.
Wow. You're on the Gong
that
Show?
That was huge.
Now it's like, Hey, Tony, come over here.
Yeah, right.
This idiot was on the Gong Show. Can you freaking believe this guy? He's on a freaking Gong Show, huh? What are you, a loser? What is the matter with you? No, but it was a
big deal. You can look at that show two ways.
Yeah, it was a big deal back then.
But
now,
and
that's
deal.
Another thing. Nobody knows what the Gong Show was.
That's
but,
right.
But they just brought it back.
No, they brought it back.
Yeah, and I guess it got renewed, but Mike Myers is a host. Mm-hmm. As a character that he dresses up as. It's not even Mike Myers. It's like some character. But anyway, so I did some national TV stuff, and I've done some national commercials and things like that. But, it's all relative. I've got a lot more credits than some other guys. And then there's people that, forget it. It's not even close, So I did some stuff. I had some fun.
Right.
But obviously having your own Netflix special would be nice, things like that. But I'm 60 years old. You're not looking at guy's 59, 60 years old to have to do that. It's a young man's game, and their attention span is 5 seconds now. So you're hot today.
What did you say?
Remember, it used to be like you were hot for like a year, and then you weren't. Now you're hot for like literally 15 minutes, and then you're gone, you know.
And people are discovered now on YouTube.
Like unbelievable. That, well, Justin Bieber is a perfect example. I mean, that's how he got discovered.
How about that? What was his name? Jay Farrow was an impressionist. He was on Saturday Night
That's
Live.
Right.
He was discovered on YouTube.
Yeah,
That's how they found
the
him.
The black guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, he's somebody does the Obama, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not that on there anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. You know, my wife's music store, Hilton Music in Colony Center, free plug.
Oh, yeah.
She, one of her, the people that distribute product to her, his cousin was a cast member on Saturday Night. So he came in one day and he goes, guess what? So-and-so, cousin of mine, he's in a cast for, well, he did one season and he was gone the next, you know, because he just wasn't getting any stage, you know, airtime.
Sometimes they don't give him a part, yeah.
You know, so, but there's a guy now, getting back to your point, here's a guy that's got Saturday Night Live cast member on his credit. That's a whole lot more impressive than my resume. So it's all relative.
I know.
Even though he was only on there for one season, that's very impressive. That's he's going to parlay that.
Sure.
So it's all relative, you know, depending.
So your website.
Yeah.
Do some more plugging here of whatever you want to plug. You want to plug your website.
That's funny. Speaking of website,
where are you going to be?
That's going to be completely. It's completely in the process of being relaunched.
Right.
It's going to be much, much more on there. And as far as performances, I am going to be in the beautiful city of. You ready? This Saturday night, I'm going to be in Amsterdam. At the
See, this won't go on until Tuesday.
Oh, well, okay. Well, I was in Amsterdam. And
I'm going to leave this in. I had a cue card that just said, no,
yeah, and
this
then,
doesn't air till next Tuesday.
And then I've been back in the Poconos the week. Oh. Well, I guess when this airs, it'll be the next coming weekend.
Yeah, this is going up Tuesday. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That'll work.
I'll be in the Poconos. I'm at Caesars Cove Haven Resort in the Poconos. Yeah, so I do a lot of stuff down there. And now that they've got gambling down there, it's even busier.
They have a game. Right.
They've got gambling down there now. So I still do the Poconos. I still do a lot of the handful of places in the Catskills, not too many anymore. You know, still doing my thing. When I'm not performing, I'm in my home studio like you are doing the voiceover stuff. So I you know, and I'm hoping that this thing, the animated greetings, the baby greetings and the pet greetings is going to take off.
I want to see my Pekingese talk.
Absolutely.
I'm gonna be your first customer.
Well, I'm gonna make you one pro bono so you can see how it works, and I think that'll really impress you.
And I'm gonna put that on my website or whatever, or put on Facebook so everybody can see it.
And if you want to write, you're a creative guy, write a funny something, whatever you want your dog to say, whatever the message is happy birthday, happy anniversary, happy Hanukkah, whatever it is, I can. You give me the script, I'll record it, and I'll have your dog passing on the message to everybody.
We don't have a Jewish Pekingese.
What do you mean you don't have a Jewish Pekingese?
Well, Steve, it's been...
Jackie Mason is still alive. Can you believe that?
Is he still alive?
He's still alive.
Wow.
God love him.
It was great.
100 million years.
Steve Van Zandt, it's been so great to have you on the podcast. And I call this podcast The Top because I've always considered you the top.
Oh, thanks, buddy.
No, really.
And feelings mutual. Great. Absolutely.
Thanks for coming in, Steve.
My pleasure. Good to see you, buddy.
Same. And none of this recorded. No. There's one talented individual there. That was Steve Van Zandt, and I had a hard time. I was going to edit out some of this. I couldn't. I just couldn't. It was just too much fun. Too much fun to have in a basement. If you want to keep up with everything that Steve is doing, you can go to his website, which is stevevanzandt.com. I will have that link in my show notes. And by the way, I got to put in a plug for myself because I got to keep the lights on here. If you're looking for entertainment for your next party, for your next conference, for your next meeting, for your next anniversary, for your next retirement party, I can DJ it. I can provide live music for your cocktail hour. I'll even write a song for that special someone and perform it at the event. To go to my website, it's hirerichie.com. Don't you love those subtle little hints? HireRichie.com. I got testimonials there and all kinds of stuff. That wraps it up for this episode. Please subscribe. That's the way you can keep up when new episodes are published. I try to do them every other Tuesday. Just think The Top on Tuesday, all right? Join me next time as I try as hard as I possibly can to...
take it to the top.